in quiet, in secret meeting and talking about Jesus, about their love for Jesus, no matter what the cost was. And the cost was being fed to lions. If anyone found out that they were Christians, they were fed to lions as a warm-up in the Colosseums. No matter the cost, they came and they worshiped the Lord. And they shared the gospel, maybe a little quieter than we do, but they shared the gospel. They came, they met, they had fellowship, because it's what God called them to do. God told them fellowship is important. Fellowship, no matter what the cost. Is the cost being a little embarrassed if your pants need hitched up? Great. I'm willing to do it. If the Lord is leading me somewhere, no matter the cost, I'm all in. All in. And that's where we need to be, because the alternative of not being all in and not going to your friends and your family and your neighbors and saying, do you know this guy named Jesus? I'm sure you've heard of him. If nothing else, you've heard people cussing about him. Because he'll save your soul. He'll give you that peace that passes all understanding. Right now, the world, the entire country is in this topsy-turvy situation just with the general politics going on. And people are going, what is happening? Can I just close my eyes until it's all over? I've had a peace that passes all understanding throughout the entire thing. And it wasn't me, because I'm an anxious person in my flesh. It was God. God gave me that peace that passes all understanding. And if you have friends and family and relatives that are going, ah, go, I know how to fix that. Have you met this guy named Jesus? He's awesome. If people don't know Jesus, it says in the Bible that the way to heaven is through him. There's only one alternative to heaven, and it's not great. We are called to proclaim the gospel. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Are you talking to people about your Jesus? All right, let's do our verse. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for leading me wherever I go. Thank you for opening my ears to hear your voice and opening my heart to receive the words that you have said to me, Lord. Thank you for leading me wherever I go. Let's pray over the offering. Dear Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We come to you today. And very first, we bring our thanks for all everything that you've provided for us, Lord. We're not outside in the cold right now worshiping you. We're in a nice warm building, and we thank you for it, Lord. If I had to come out to the cold to worship you, I would. But I am grateful that I don't. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would bless the offering. I ask that you would multiply it in the bucket and provide for the needs of the church. And not just that, let the church be able to use those funds to be a blessing to others as well. In your holy, holy, holy name we pray. Amen. A couple of announcements. I don't have a pack up here, but we still have the earplugs out by the front door if you'd like some. It just helps take some of the echo out. When I told my kids about the echo, they came in here to test it. Echo! So, but the earplugs, you can still hear Pastor. You can still hear the service. You can still hear the music. It just takes some of the echo. Ouch. They're just little foam ones. They're individually packaged. They're in the back if you'd like some. Also, if you haven't checked out the fundraiser for the kids, John and the kids and I were all up early making deliciousness. So come out, check it out. It's by donation only. We had a couple tables set out there if you'd like to sit and eat or take them home or whatever you'd like to do. Please, please, please do so. Also, can you flip to the slide that has the YouTube? We only need 23 more subscribers out of 100, guys. This is exciting. If you have not gone to our YouTube and subscribed yet, please do, because if we get 100 subscribers, we can, like, change the name. There's a ton of algorithms. They won't let you do pretty much anything until you have 100 subscribers. So we only need 23 more. If you could, please go to YouTube. It's under ANBFCC. It has our logo on it. Click subscribe. Please, 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 please. Janine? Oh, yeah. John is trying to put together a, do you want to talk about it or do you want me to? A men's breakfast. So if you're interested, talk to him about it. It'll be at a restaurant. It'll all be safe and sufficient, and it's going to be the first Saturday in December, correct? Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah. I wouldn't miss that if I were you. Praise the Lord. It's hard getting together nowadays. It's hard to have time, but we need to still fellowship, even if we need to do it in a safe manner. We still need to fellowship. So if you haven't signed up for the Christmas dinner, sign up. And I have really super cool news concerning that. There is an anonymous donor for the Christmas dinner. We are no longer taking or asking for donations. That has been provided for you. We've got the menu nailed down. I know, isn't that awesome? I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. So God is just going to bless you ahead of time. So come and be blessed. Come and be a part of it. There is sign up now. We're going to have a few fun things to do at the Christmas dinner. We're going to have a talent show. So, hey, get your talents warmed up. Get signed up down there and be a part of it. Come and entertain us a little bit. Those of you who are always entertaining us in other ways, come on. Come and entertain us, Jackie. Come on. She's always making us laugh. Come on, girl. This is your chance. Join the talent show. Come for the dinner. Sign up for an hors d'oeuvre or a dessert. And just come and fellowship with your brothers and sisters. It's Sunday, the 13th of December at 5 o'clock here. There's sign-ups for participating in different areas, setup, takedown, serving, kitchen cleanup. Come and be a part of the night and enjoy yourselves and have a good time with your brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah. And again, we're going to keep that as safe as we can keep it and follow all the rules and do what we need to do. God is good. All the kids can go with Donnie. And hallelujah. God is good. He's for you. You know that? No. I said God is for you. He's not against you. Now I just want to say before we get, you can turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Don't be excited. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Don't be depressed, right? God is still on the throne. And I've read that when it's all over, He's coming back. And He's going to make everything new. It's all going to be good. And I just want to say this too. As long as I'm here, that there's still a chance for God to come and to absolutely turn our nation, our world upside down for Him. Amen. Because He's given me that commission. He's given you that commission. And He told Joshua, every place that your foot goes, you can possess. You need to possess. That means I possess here, then I possess there, and I possess here. Why? Because God was with him, but God is in me. Oh, thank you for that. God was with Joshua. God was with David. God was with Moses. God was with Elijah. God was with Ezekiel. God was with all of the people in the Old Testament, Solomon. But God is in me.
Yes.
Come on. God is in me. Did you? No, you're all right. Just 1 minute, 1 minute, Jackie, so that those, so it'll get to where people can hear it. What?
Funny. Well, when I was in my 20s, I had two back injuries within 14 months of each other.
Woo!
And I have struggled with that my whole life. When I worked, I always had heavy working jobs. I had to compete with men for my job, so I did as heavy a work as the men. Till one day, one of my bosses came in and saw me putting away the stock, 3,000 pounds of stock, while two men were playing in the kitchen with spatulas and making each other laugh. And that was the only time I was ever spared. My boss said, if I ever see Jackie doing this again, you're both fired.
Wow.
So I have tortured this back, and I have abused it till I have really suffered with sciatic nerve pain. And one day, about a month ago, we had 4 hours of car riding, which does me in. We went out to his Walt's brother's house for his wife to help me put a quilt together, and we stood on cement floor, bent over for, it seemed like, forever. When we got home that night, I was really suffering with the sciatic nerve pain, and I was in bed, and I woke up in my sleep halfway from the pain, and my leg was drying up, and my toes were just burning like electricity shocking them. And as I tried to turn over, I said, oh, Jesus, help me. Something in my back popped and moved, and I have not had sciatic pain since. Now, I'm talking almost 50 years of sciatic nerve pain.
Yeah.
It is good to pray for one another. It
is. Amen.
But His Spirit is in us. His
Amen.
Power in
Come
is
on.
Us.
Come on.
We're each
Come
individual
on. Yeah.
temples of the Holy Spirit. And God can just do it to us.
Amen.
He can just move. It doesn't take a big name preacher.
Come
you
on.
You have God moving in you.
Amen.
And He'll answer your prayers too. Even in our own bodies,
Amen.
In our own needs, and
Amen.
In our own pain. I cried out half asleep. It wasn't a big long prayer. It was, Jesus, help me.
Yeah.
And He was there and He helped me.
Woo!
This sounds crazy, but last spring we had a wild cat that wanted me to be its mama.
Yeah.
And he would let me pet him, and then he'd forget that I was his friend, and he'd hiss at me and snarl. But he broke a leg and he came to me. And I called Janine up, and I said, you think this leg's broken, honey? And she's, oh, Mom, it's bad. And he's going to die of infection in a matter of days. She went back home. She says, it's no use taking him to a vet. They cannot keep anything on a wild cat. So I stood there, and I looked at him, and he made eye contact with me. And I just felt like he was saying, help me, do something, Mama. And so I just reached out my hand to him. I said, Jesus, heal this leg. Just have mercy on this poor cat who has no one but you that loves him.
Yeah.
He left. His leg was huge. He was walking on three legs with this big leg. He came back the next morning. The leg was normal, not broken, walking on all four legs. Jesus cares about the very needs of your life.
He Amen.
He's an animal, but He cares about you. He loves you so much, but we forget to trust Him. We figure out every reason why He might not do it, why we can't believe, but we're supposed to be a people of faith. Let's really believe God for what He wants to do in this place.
Amen.
Because He does want to do miracles and wonders in your life.
Amen. Thank you for that. That was awesome. Woo! Thank you. Come on. God is good. We quote this particular verse a lot. And we should. But if you look at verse 6 of John chapter 14, this is after Thomas doubted, and Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Right? I can't tell you how many memorial service funerals I've used this verse, because I just want people to know that Jesus is the only way, right? But He made the way. Come on. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And whatever He said, whatever He's promised is true. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Whatever He told us is true. So whatever He's put in our heart through His Word is true. Everybody say true.
True.
Come on. And it's not true yesterday, but not true today. It's not true today, and it won't be true tomorrow. It's true all the time. Because He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know Him and have seen Him. And Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, it's sufficient for us. How many of us are looking for a sign? God, I'll really believe You if You do this, or I'll really believe You if You do that, or if I'll really... And He said, you've missed it. You've missed it. Have you known Me? Have you known Me? Have you come into a relationship with Me? At some point did I introduce Myself and you came to Me? If you've known Me, then you know it all. Right? Come on. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. There was a day when I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And then He began to reveal Himself to me a little by little by little by little. And it's been a few years now. And I know a little bit, but I don't know hardly anything compared to what He wants to make known. But it's His will to make it known to me. Right? Because if I've seen Him, I know the Father. I love the signs and wonders, and I love the fact that God still does them, and I love to see the miraculous just exploits of God and His glory. But the fact is, I'm not going to know the Father because I've seen them. I'm going to know the Father because I've seen Him.
Yes.
I know Him. Yes. Come on. Paul said it this way after all of his stuff. He said, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Come on, I want to know Him. He prayed to the Ephesians. He said, listen, he said, I pray that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. Come on. How many know Jesus? Come on. How many want to know Him more? Ooh, glory. Glory to God. I believe everything that the Father gives us, even through the Holy Spirit, comes through the emissary work of Jesus Christ. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, Philip, and you have not known Me? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in Me does the work. Now watch this. He says, listen, are you believing in Me? Do you believe Me? Look, at even the works that I do, it's because the Father's Word has come to me and I'm speaking through the Word. This is so powerful. This is so powerful because it has applications to us because of the next verse. Verse 12 says, verse 11 says, believe Me that I am in the Father and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the sake of the works themselves. But most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now you got to see this transgression, this transition that's not transgression, transition that's happening here. He said, I came from the Father, and the only thing I do is because the Father tells me to do it. And I am in the Father, and because I'm in the Father, and because He speaks to me, the works that you've seen me do, raise the dead, feed 5,000, the lame walk, the blind see, come on, ears are opened up. All of those things you see because I'm in the Father.
Amen.
But most assuredly, I want to tell you that the works that I do, you will also do in greater works because I go to my Father. Now watch this. Why was he going to his Father? He was going back to his Father because he was going to produce a result that changed history. He presented himself on the altar as the sacrificial lamb. That sacrificial lamb was for you and I and whoever would partake in knowing Jesus. So the blood that he spilt on that altar and it was given was the very thing that made it possible for us to have the same relationship with the Father as he does. He who knew no sin became sin or a sin sacrifice that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to the Father and that changes everything because I'm going to the Father and I am in the Father and now you're in the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do also. He will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Why? Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in mortal bodies.
Yes.
Whose body?
Mine.
Yes, 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 yes. It's available to all of us.
Yes.
But it's to those who believe. Jesus said, if thou dost believe or canst believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. And when I go to the Father, I'm taking you with me if you want to come. And the moment that you accept me as your Savior, you are now in me. And later in John it says, I'm in the Father and Father's in me, now you're in us and we're all together, we're all one.
Glory.
Wow, I have an expectation that when I pray, God hears my voice. He hears my voice from heaven. And he recognizes it. And because he hears my voice, and because I am covered by the blood of the Lamb, and because I'm in covenant with God, I'm a partaker of the covenant, because Jesus and God cut the covenant and made me a partaker of it, I now have all the benefits of that covenant. And one of the main benefits of that covenant is he walks with me and he talks with me. Come on. He's in me. Come on. It's not like I have to do something to get something because he's already done it, so I have it. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. What do I need to do? I need to believe. I need to believe. I need to believe that when I go to talk to somebody, I'm not going by myself. I need to believe that when I go, the Holy Spirit will give me the words to say when I need to say them. And that the Holy Spirit will show me what to do, tell me what to say, ask me to do certain things, and if I do them, then He'll get the results, the glory, and everything else. There's something about when a believer who believes walks into a room that everything can change. Why? Because I'm not taking any glory on myself. It's all about that I am in Him. and He is in me. Right? And if you've seen what... Some of you might think this is blasphemous, but it's not. If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Now, I pray that would be our goal, that somebody, sometime in our life would say, man, I see Jesus in you. There's something different about you. What is it that's happening in you that's causing you to shine? I mean, why is it you're reacting different? Why is it that nothing seems to bother you? Why is it? Because the greater one lives on the inside of me. I'm looking to Him who is not only the author of my faith, but He's the finisher of my faith. Right? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. But if I believe Him, right, then I am a vessel unto honor for Him, and God wants to use me to bless somebody else. I don't have an anointing to be anointed. I have an anointing to pass it on. Right? Come on. God is shut up in my bones. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. What a promise. Who's that for? Is it for all of us, or if it's only for us if we believe it? Come on. I can quote and say, yeah, bless God, that's in the Bible, so it's mine. But do I really believe it? Because if I believe it, it'll cause me to do something about it. It'll cause me to face the fear that's trying to keep me from the very purposes that God has placed me on the earth for. It'll cause me to push through that and get to another level. Come on. I hear this a lot, man. If you go to another level, you get a bigger devil. Who cares what size devil you have? Right? It doesn't matter. Why? Because they're under my feet. He's under my feet. Why? Because my older brother kicked him in the rear and made an open display of him, right? And I am in him. And so when I say devil in the name of Jesus, he has to pay attention, because it's the Spirit of God, right? From the Father's power and authority coming through me into the earth. Glory to God. I am something going to happen somewhere in Jesus' name. Right? I just want to be used by God. And everywhere I go, the presence of God should be going with me. Everywhere I go, I should be making an expectation or a draw on the presence of God. And in the morning, we ought to wake up saying, okay, the greater one lives on the inside of me. What's my adventure today? And not sweat it, not get anxious about it, but God, whoever you lead across my path, Father, you'll put a word in my heart. You'll give me something to do. Lord, when somebody asks us to pray, it should be different. What do I mean? Well, pray for me. I'm going through such and such. Well, if I pray for you, things are going to be different.
That's right.
No, you don't understand. When I pray for you, something is going to change. Something's going to be different. Something's going to happen. Right? I'm going to pray for you, but God's going to move in you. It may not be today. It might not be tomorrow. It might be 50 years later. But God is going to move on you and in you. There is something that's going to shift in you. Glory to God. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to sense it. I just know it because I believe. Greater is He who is in me than he that's in the world. Greater works are expected for a believer. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. God has a desire for this room, right here, and those that are watching, for you to raise up to a bigger level. Quit looking at the world situation and determining whether God is working by what you see on CNN, Fox News, or whatever. God wants you to look to the inside, communicate with the inside, and say, God, what is it that you're doing? What is it that you're stirring? Why are we tolerating the devil disrupting what God wants to do? Because we don't believe. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Because we don't believe. Look at this. You know the story. Here's the story. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, and I must say that they got intoxicated in the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been intoxicated in the Spirit. It's quite a deal. And sometimes it's not always pretty. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's in order, but it's in perfect order, right? But you go outside with it, and you know, you just might look a little strange. A friend of ours, we were down at a conference in Vancouver, Washington, and it was one of those days, I don't know if any of you have ever lived in the Portland, Vancouver area, but they have ice storms that go through. And it's just amazing, the ice storms. But this was one of those ice storm days, but I think it was a Friday night. And man, we just got so drunk in the Holy Ghost that he could not talk. We had to carry him to the van. We carried him, we put him in the van. Then we went to a Sherry's down there. And we were like the only ones in the Sherry's, but a Sherry's down there, and we opened the door and he fell out. We put it was almost comical. It was very comical, but almost cruel. But we put him in the booth, and he didn't say anything the whole time we were there. He was gone. The Spirit of God was doing something on the inside. What? I don't know. But sometimes it just looks strange. It just looks a little strange. So that's what's going on here. And verse 12, it's all of these people heard them speaking in tongues, and they were all preaching the gospel in a language they didn't know. And here was somebody from Crete that heard them in his native tongue. And here's somebody else that heard them from a native tongue. And the people that are speaking don't know what they're saying, but the ones that are hearing know exactly what they're saying. And verse 12, it says, they were all amazed and perplexed. I'd like to have a meeting where you have unbelievers that come in amazed but perplexed. I think our lives ought to kind of, you know, foster that. The people around us, they're kind of amazed, but they're perplexed. Well, man, they're strange. That's a strange group of people, but there's something about it. Right, there's something in it that I like, that I think I need. I'm not sure I want all of that, but maybe part of it. Right? And saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking say, man, they're full of new wine.
Oh yeah.
That stuff that's potent, right? That stuff that just not that. They've been tipping the bottle a little bit too early. So that's what they say. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. I just want to get Peter for just a minute, because Peter is just like us. Peter, when Jesus was with him, said, Jesus, I got your back. Everybody else might leave, but I got you. I'll be with you. I'm the man. Anytime we get to the point where we've got it, I'm all it. There's coming a day when the rooster's going to crow three times for us, right? And so Jesus said, listen, man, you're going to deny me three times, you know, before the day's out. And it happened. So watch this. While Peter was in Peter, he fell. But Jesus restored him and said, Peter, you're no longer in Peter. You're in me. But you're no longer just Bruce Jack's son of Seattle. Come on. You're now in me, so you're the same as I am. You have the same heritage that I have, and you can act the same way that I acted, and you can have the same communication with the Father that I had, and you can have the same expectation that when you open your mouth, He'll fill it. See, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. I don't think Peter said, you know, Jesus left several days ago, and I know I'm going to have a sermon someday. So I'm going to study, and I'm going to have 4 points, an opening and a closing, and that will be my first sermon. I don't think he had a clue what he was going to say before he stood up. But the Spirit of God inside of him, because Jesus had gone to the Father, said, talk about Joel. Talk about Joel. Remember, I was speaking to you about this the other day. I want you to speak it out. And listen to what he did. This is so cool. This is so cool. Verse 15. For these are not drunk as you suppose. I like that. These are not drunk as you suppose. They're not drunk like you think they're drunk. He didn't say they weren't drunk. He didn't say they weren't intoxicated. He said, but it's just not like you think they're intoxicated, since it's only the third hour of the day. Come on. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Who does that exclude? None. So even right now, the Spirit of God has poured Himself all out on you. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, the Spirit of God has poured Himself out on you. Why is that significant? Because the more you build that into you, the more you understand that I'm going as a willing vessel, but all of the results aren't up to me, they're up to God. But when I go and stand up in the name of Jesus, I'm going as an emissary, as an ambassador for Christ, and I'll speak words that the Father gives me, and they will make a change, and they will fulfill the very thing that they were sent forth to do. Why? Because His Word doesn't go void, out void. It won't return to Him void, but it will accomplish. So when I go and I know, right, and I believe, then I can be assured that the Spirit of God is with me. He's going to speak to me. There's such a peace that comes with that. There's such a knowing that comes with that. He's got this covered. Yesterday I had an opportunity, and it was a privilege, it always is, to do a memorial service. But it wasn't just, because of COVID, it wasn't just for one person, it was for two people. A mother and a daughter had passed away. And you know, when you go do those things, it's really a simple thing that you're really just kind of facilitating, and you have a short part of it. But I know when I'm called to do that, I'm anointed to do that. And so the Spirit of God, I always ask Him what I should say. And at a memorial service, you don't give a 45-minute sermon. It's usually 10 minutes at the most, 15 maybe. But I just know that God will give me something to say. And you might go, well, do you give an altar call? No, that's not a place for an altar call necessarily. But I always share the gospel somehow. Yeah. Right? It's always presented somehow. Amen. But what good does it do? It does a lot of good. Why? Because the Spirit of God is on the inside of me, projecting through me, and He's taking those words and implanting them in hearts that it can never, ever get away from. Because it's seed sown. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it doesn't matter where we go. It's the same way if you go to a grocery store. The next time you go visit somebody in the hospital, don't go as Bruce, the son of Jack. Go as Bruce, the son of God. Holy Spirit, I'm going, and I'm just expecting you to be with me. I'm expecting you to show up. If you don't show up, I have nothing to offer. I've told you the story before, but it just fits in here. You've got to expect the Spirit of God to be with you. I was called out by one of my sisters to a friend, and it's really interesting because the friend was at the service yesterday, but her mom was in the hospital. This was several years ago now. But as we're going, and on the way there, and she was at Tacoma General, I believe. And her heart, she had something. Her heart was done. It was finished. She was going to pass away. That's the end of life stage. But Lord, I just need your presence in the room. And there was such an anointing that came on me. I don't have to feel it to go in, but this time it was there. In fact, they were changing her and doing some things, and so we had to wait out in the hallway. And you know, my couple of sisters and Kathy and other people were just milling around, but I was just there going, "Oh God, this is really good. I'm a little intoxicated in you." But went into the room and we had our chit chats and this and this is that and that's. But it was my time to talk to Mom, and I said, "I want you to know that I'm here I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here and He knows you. In fact, if you could open your eyes to it, there's angels all around this room. And the presence of God is in this. And I'm telling you, like a cloud, not in appearance, but just the weight of it just came in." And there happened to be this lady who was of different religion, who was visiting from Eastern Washington, who was in the room. And after I left, she said, "Oh my God, what was that?" Right? It was the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel in the last days. Come on. We're living in the last days. Watch. "I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." Why? Because Jesus went to the Father and He took His blood to the Father, and it was deemed worthy to pay the penalty for all of my sins. And so that penalty has been taken care of, so that now I'm a child of God, and the Spirit of God doesn't have to be just around me, but He can be in me, because my heart is now the dwelling place for the Spirit of God on the earth. "I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." What does that mean? That we're all going to tell the future? Right? A prophet tells of the future. This is going to happen on that date. That's going to happen. Jesus is coming back. Been too many of those. But what this really means is that all my sons and daughters, I will put an inspired word inside of them. And when they're speaking, it'll be me speaking through them. Come on. How many alls do I have in this room? Alls. Come on. All your sons and daughters. Right? I'm part of the all. A part of the all. I'm part of, if he's done it for one, He'll do it for all. And I'm part of the all, right? And so, Lord, I just have an expectation in my heart, and I want to build you guys up that tomorrow when you go to work, when you go home, when somebody calls you on the phone, we ought to start having expectation. Wait a minute. God wants me to supernaturally speak for Him to somebody else. Why? Not so that they'll see me, but they'll see Jesus, and Jesus will introduce them to the Father. I've determined that when I get those calls, you know those calls? Don't hang up. This is so-and-so selling such and such and such and such. I'll say, well, I'll give you 3 minutes, but I want two. Right? You got them on the phone. Listen, you've told me your deal. Thank you for that, but I want to tell you my deal. But watch this. Not to have a program, a printed card going, these are the four things you say to somebody who's trying to solicit you something on the phone. But you know that the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, and the Spirit of God knows the heart of the person that you're talking to on the phone. And say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? And then you just begin to speak out what comes to your heart or comes to your mind. You speak it out and you just say, Lord, I just trust you with that. Right? And I don't know if I'm planting, I don't know if I'm watering, if God, you're going to give me the increase today. But I'm being used of you by your Spirit because you said all of your sons and daughters would prophesy. Your young men shall see vision and your old men shall dream dreams. Glory to God. Glory to God. I refuse to dream because I don't want to be old. But anyway, look at it. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. It's not about whether it's His will to or His want to. It's about whether we believe. And there are enemies to that belief. The first enemy of that belief is that you don't know it. You've read the Word, but you don't know it. The second one is you qualify it to those that are holy enough. Those are anointed enough. I remember when I first got saved, I thought, ooh, man, that person has been saved for 2 years. They've got to be a super saint. Right. And then I'd find somebody that was, you've been saved 5 years? Oh my gosh. 20 years? You ought to really know something. But look at, here's what I found. That it's not the amount of time that you've been with Christ. It's the amount of Christ that you've allowed to come in you. So there's people that are 2 days old that have more Jesus in them than those that are 20 years old. Right. Now there's nothing wrong with being a seasoned saint, being in the Word and know the Word and have had many experiences with God. That's awesome. But don't let the time be a factor of the knowing and believing. Come on. Woo! Glory to God. Why? Because the greater one, man, he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to know more and more and more and more. Let's end with this. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I've read this many times to you, but it has application here. Glory to God. Philippians chapter 3. And again, this is Paul speaking, and it just blows my mind what he says. He talks about his pedigree, talks about all the schooling that he had, and that he was a Jew of Jews, and he everything was perfect in his life. I mean, if God was going to bless anybody because of his effort, it was this man. Right? He had all the schooling, had all the degrees, had all the, paid the dues. Paid the dues. But listen to his response. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, in other words, my status with man, my status with the religious system, my status with the order, if that made me look good, if it was, look at me, this is who I am. Listen to what he says. This is incredible to me. I've counted them as loss for Christ. In other words, I don't even consider that worthy to be put in the same sentence as what my coming to Christ and what Christ has meant to me, it has no bearing. I count them as loss. Look at, yet indeed I call, watch, this is so good. Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish that I may gain Christ. What's he saying? What's he saying? He's saying, knowledge of Jesus and the knowledge that I have in Jesus and the relationship I have with Jesus is worth more than anything else that I've ever had. And I might know him, right? But I'm getting to know him more and more. And verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. Now my own righteousness, it's not what I've done. It's not how good I've been, how bad I've been. I'm not on that scale anymore. That's gone, right? Which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. If you can believe, all things are possible. If you believe, these works shall you do, and greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father in Christ, and the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Glory to God. God wants you to know that when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he put in you the potential to be a world changer. A world changer. You say, well, world changer, you mean I'm supposed to go preach the gospel to everybody? Well, yes. But on the other hand, you can go to somebody and change their world. Yes. Yeah. Right. 1, 2, 5, 10. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If the Spirit of God is using you to change somebody's world, you're a world changer.
Right.
Yes, sir.
I feel like I'm supposed to share this.
Okay, go ahead. Let's give this so that they can hear it on the. Yeah.
I'm on a hike yesterday.
Hello? There we are. I'm on, just on a hike yesterday, and I'm just on the way to the top of the mountain. And I'm just being, you know, praising, worshiping, on my way, talking to the Lord. And I pass by this man, you know, give him 6 feet on the trail, on the hill like this. And I hear the Lord say to me, he's just like he speaks to all of us. He says, brother. So I just spit out of my mouth, brother. And he goes, yes.
Yeah.
He says to me. And I'm like, he's coming down and I'm going up. And I'm like, oh. And I said, well, if you're my brother, let's pray. And he says, well, certainly. And I, while I'm getting my breath, and that, he goes, how about if I start? So I'm like, certainly. So we sit there and we talk to each other and he starts praying. And I catch my breath and his wife and his... and his niece show up, and his wife's like, how did all this start? You know? And then we start praying about our country and lifting up everything. And then the presence just falls. And then, you know, I'm not there trying to prophesy or anything, but the Lord starts showing me this young lady and who she is. And I just, you know, speak those words out, and she's like, yeah, that's true. And I just, you know, just let it flow. I just let it be him in me, because he's in us. And we're in him, and he wants to flow from us.
Amen.
And it's not nothing you have to work up. And yeah, you're going to feel something when you go to step out, because the enemy of the air is all around us, right? But we got the gold in us.
Amen, amen, amen.
We just step through that chicken line or that pressure, and it, boom, it opens up. And hearts are open, and people are changed.
Amen.
And we had church right there on that mountain. And that's available for everyone wherever.
Everywhere
you go.
Everywhere.
Regardless of who you are, how long you've known the Lord, if you love him, he loves you and he is in your heart. There's a river right here wanting to flow as you feel it right now. As
Amen.
You feel when this man of God gives the word, it flows and touches your heart and pierces you and changes you.
Amen.
And brings love of the God of all creation to you.
Amen. Woo. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God is indeed good all the time. He's in me, He's in you, and He's waiting for you to just open up your heart and let Him use you in a powerful way. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You, Lord, that the greater one said,